Hello, hello.
Hi.
First of all, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Choose One. And I really wanted to take a second and say happy Pride Month to everybody. In theme of Pride Month, we're here again with an update since last year. I did an episode with Zoe on bisexuality, and I had the intention of doing an entire series with multiple people, but decided to take a break from the podcast instead. So today, for part two of the bisexual series in season two of Why Choose One, I'm so happy to be bringing back my friend to have a further detailed discussion about bisexuality. So welcome, Zoe.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited to do this episode. I was doing a lot of research about good questions and different discussions and opening mindsets. And I'm just excited.
Yeah. That was definitely the vibe in this house this morning as well. I rolled over and I was like, today's Saturday. Guess what I get to do today?
It's recording day. That's also one of my favorite things to do. And especially on Saturdays, because it's just like, because you got nothing else, but nothing else to do. And you're like, this is going to be great. I'm excited to record.
Exactly.
So everybody, a reminder, if you haven't listened to the old episode, there is going to be we're not going to ask the same questions that we had before. So just as a quick refresher, we recorded in March 2021. That is over a year ago, and a lot of things have changed for both of us. And really for me. So before, from the old episode, we talked about, the typical bisexual things. We were talking about definitions. We were talking about, how Zoe got here in her childhood and to bisexuality. And also for me, we also talked a bit about bullying and shame when it comes to being a bisexual in a small town and coming out of the closet. We had a very small gender discussion, both of which I feel like we could have worked on. And I feel like I still have it in my goals to work on gender discussions. So I'm going to be bringing a gender specialist one day, just so everybody knows. And then we were talking a lot about eating clam.
Yes.
So today.
So much about it.
So much about eating clam. And okay, Zoe, are you okay if I just quickly tell the story?
Absolutely.
I need to say the update. So
yes, please give us a story time.
Story time. Okay. So, well, I ended up being with a woman and multiple women, but one in particular I actually dated and went and had a romantic, intimate relationship and had a whirlwind of adventures and learning, and vagina isn't as scary as you think it is. And it's actually quite wonderful, and there's so many cool things you can do in there.
Yes.
That I didn't know about, that I could now maybe tell somebody else how to do on myself. And I learned I have a bit of underlying subconscious homophobia, which is fucking nuts because I'm very open-minded, but I get in my head really quickly about my bisexuality and if what I'm doing is right or wrong, or if I get this biphobia anxiety. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I like. And
yeah, that is constantly going to, I found being bisexual, I'm constantly questioning which part of my sexuality I have to choose. And that's been very, very difficult to navigate.
Right? I feel the same way. It was awesome because I had the ability to be with so the person I was seeing was or is a lesbian, and or am seeing, it's complex. But she has the ability to just be okay, just relax, just enjoy this experience. And then she talks me through about how to, pleasure her. And she's really trusting and really safe. And she was an amazing person for me to start this with. And I feel really lucky because not everybody gets that. I mean, I did have, like, I feel like it's kind of comparison to, like, when, you know, when you go out to the bar, Zoe, and you're like, I'm going to hook up with this, I'm going to make up with this girl, get free drinks.
Yes.
That versus, like, I'm in bed with you, we're alone, there's nobody watching.
How am I meant to navigate this situation now? Absolutely. It's the crowd versus intimate gathering situation. It's like, oh, in a crowd, you can be like, cool, I can make out with 30 different chicks and it's going to be great. Everybody's watching. But the moment you're alone, you're like, cool, it's more than just making out. I don't know where to start.
Right? Like, do we, like, and if for girls, I feel like I have guys down to, like, a fault. Like, I can, yes. I can pick up a dude. I can have sex with a dude. I can, like, think of 10 things that, you know, of situations that could happen with a dude. But when it's a girl, I'm like, I'm still like, you're pretty.
It's like, and then they're pretty and it makes you nervous and you're like, shit, what do I do now? Yeah.
I literally walked up to a girl at a party last weekend and I was like, wow, you're really beautiful. And she's like, thank you. And then she's like, check me out. And we were like, started to talk a little bit. And then I got distracted. And then, like, she ended up talking to somebody else. And that was it. And I was like, fuck, I had an in and I didn't do anything. I just said, you're pretty.
You're pretty. And now I'm panicking because I don't know what else to do. Yeah.
Which I also learned a new term about gay panic over the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fascinating. There was this woman I met at a party, Zoe, that was like, imagine a beautiful woman who's like goddess energy hardcore.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a few female friends that are like that. And
she like literally goes up to like, and she's just like a butterfly. She's just like a little whimsical, like just, she goes up to people and she's like, oh, hi. Oh, I'm sexy. I'm going to flirt with you. Oh, oh, next person. Oh, hi. And like, just like wild. And I had like, I was literally like, oh my God, I like you. I want you. You should come with me. And she's like, okay. And then I was like, okay, bye. And I was like, wait, I like you.
Just you're like, fucking, wait, hold up a second. I think I missed a step.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I like you. You're freaking me out.
I like you. You're pretty. And now I'm panicking because gay panic is a thing.
Yes. And it's hilarious. And, you know, I didn't really even notice it until the person that I was seeing, or am seeing, whatever, she was like totally pointed out. She's like, whoa, way to have some gay panic. She was like right there. Anyways, so the moral of the story time is that, you know, I had the ability to really explore my bisexuality. And so I'm coming at this with Zoe now in a more detailed discussion and an ability for me to actually speak to it also. I'm really happy about.
Perfect.
So, Zoe, I'm going to jump right in and I'm going to ask you some more questions.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you think bisexuality is a choice or do you feel like we're just born this way?
I mean, at the end of the day, ultimately, it is, you're born that way. You've got interests and attractions to both male and female. However, I definitely feel like when you're bisexual, that you have a preference for one or the other.
Ooh,
that you have more of a preference for more like for one or the other.
So, okay, so are you saying that,
but I feel like that's a learned preference and things like that based on like your interactions with females versus males, things like that, and how different genders make you feel. For myself, like if I could be a lesbian, I would be a lesbian, but sadly I like dick.
And you know, there's a lot of lesbians out there who could argue that strap-ons are real.
Exactly. But like I kind of like the one that mine's attached to, so.
You know what, I also feel like there's been like the girl I'm seeing is convinced, she's like, just let me fuck you with the dick, like my dildo, and you'll like, you'll know. And I'm like, okay, but I actually like the idea of like my vagina like literally milking a penis for its like,
exactly, come. It's like at the end of the day, you know? Like, I 100% because I'm in the same boat. I'm like, there's still that part of my brain that's like, yeah, strap-ons are great and everything, but men, it's fun.
It's delicious. It's
like, for me, I definitely have a learned preference for females versus males just because the past has had some very not great interactions with men to say, but with females, I've had a lot of positive interactions and a lot of opportunities to explore myself and have really great experiences. And even outside of the bedroom, just their energy and things like that, I find meshes better with mine than men.
Interesting. So you have a learned preference.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I've known since for a long time that I was interested in both men and women. So,
you know, I genuinely feel as though I'm 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could actually say that I have a preference. But I do think, like, sexually, I have a preference. But not sexually, like, just
intimate. Like, romantically and things like that.
Romantically, yeah. I think I'm 50-50. Yeah. Honest. But preference, definitely sexually.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I always think, like, wow, the psychology of that. Like, I really wish that I had a psychologist with us right now.
So fun little tidbit for you. I actually have my bachelor's degree in psychology.
Yes,
and I'm starting my master's for it come October. So, give it 2 years, and you will have a psychologist that you can pull in.
Yes, that's exactly. Oh my God, yes, lucky for Why Choose One and audience. But you know, like, I do think I agree with you. I don't think that bisexuality is a choice overall. I do think that, like, at first. Like, when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking that, you know, everything we do is a choice. But then I was like, okay, but how do I explain my naturally developed organically feelings between both women and men?
Exactly.
It's not like one day I woke up and I'm like, I am going to choose to like men. I'm going to choose to like women. Because
some days I wish it was that easy and I could just choose to be like, I'm only going to date women because men are sometimes very icky. But sadly, it didn't work like that.
Men are icky on occasion.
Well, it's like, fun story about that. I got banned from Facebook for 30 days for hate speech for saying men are icky.
Are you serious?
No, I got banned for 30 days for saying men are icky.
What?
But, like, wow. Backstory on that, there was a post that one of my friends had shared, and it was a whole bunch of guys talking about cheating on their pregnant wives and things like that. Oh, and God. I was like, men are icky, and then 30-day ban.
You know, we could talk a lot about censorship. It drives me nuts that we have as much as we do and that we can't, like, share our bodies or pictures, or, like, that we can't say certain things now drives me bananas.
Agreed.
Like, the amount of censorship we have, like, it's great that we have abilities to kind of wiggle around it a bit, but, like, to ban you from, like, a social media platform for, like, how is that going to treat anybody punishment? You know, like, how is that going to be, like, all right, we censored you for what we think is, like, whatever happened to, like, literally freedom of speech?
Exactly. I honestly don't know what happened to it, but.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like, I was actually just watching, this is totally sidebar. I was watching last night, The People versus Larry Flint. Have you ever seen that movie?
It sounds familiar.
It's on Netflix. You should
absolutely
watch it. It's about the guy who created Hustler.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And like how, like, he went to Supreme Court for the discussion of freedom of speech and that it's your right. And even if you don't, like, even if you don't see the fact that, like, so, like, it's no different than a really extreme Catholic being like, the life I live is I'm a sinner. Like, as a bisexual, I'm a sinner. And, you know, they have the right to say that. I mean, I'd agree with it, but they have the right to say it, and it's not hate speech. Versus, okay, I can say I like men are icky. You know, like, how in the world is that hate speech? And it's not even like you're actually even, like, attacking a singular person, you know. And you're kind of being a jokester about it. You know, it's
like. Exactly. Like, and with the backstory of, like, what the post was on and things like that, I feel like it's well warranted.
But, you know, like, whatever happened, like, just because we're at extremes or whatever it may be, even if we said something extreme, we should have the right for freedom of speech, you know?
Exactly. It's like, as long as you're not going out deliberately hurting someone, I don't believe that your opinion causes physical harm to others.
And can't we not just block the person? You know,
exactly. especially if you're face to face with somebody and they're going off and be like, well, men are gross and icky and disgusting and they shouldn't be allowed X, Y, Z. Like, you could always walk away from the conversation as well. But on social media, it is a lot easier to be like, you know what? I don't want to see your opinion and block somebody or unfriend them and things like that. And if later on you feel like it warrants a conversation with them, being like, hey, look,
seriously,
I understand that this is your opinion. But you need to execute it a little bit better.
I agree. Okay, sidebar ended.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with you more. So I recently heard someone say bisexuality is actually the gateway channel into being gay or lesbian. Do you think that there's room for being a bisexual for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Yes.
100%. I don't, in my personal experience, I do not believe that I will end up being either straight or being a lesbian. I will always be that cool little in-between bisexual.
Do you feel as though that people try to put you in a box of definitions?
Absolutely. Every single day.
And so how do you break that box?
So I'm in a ethically non-monogamous relationship with my partner, who is a male. So I'm constantly put in the box of, oh, she's into men. She's not into anybody else. She's just into men because she's dating a man. And it's constantly having to break down those boxes of, just because I'm dating a man does not mean that I strictly want to be with men. That there's not that room for me to go and explore my sexuality with females. So it's constantly reminding myself of, this is somebody else's opinion of what you are supposed to be, not of who you're meant to be.
And so good.
Well, it's a lot of, like, so when people are like, well, you're with a man, you've got to be straight. I'm like, joke's on you. I was a lesbian, or should have been a lesbian when he met me. And here we are 2 years later. So what does that tell you? Like,
yeah, I like, and I find that, especially in non-monogamy or polyamory, that it's either in further boxes that people try to put us
in. Well, because like, swinging it's like, as well. Like, I find that box makes you even smaller. If you're with a man and you go to a party, people automatically assume that you're open to playing with other men.
Mm-hmm.
And completely discount the fact that, like, I'm more interested in your wife than I am with you.
But then, you know, it's so funny because, like, when you bring up, like, the whole swinging bit, I find when I show up to places with my husband, they assume that I can only do stuff. If my husband participates.
But, or with your husband's permission.
Yeah. And like, yeah, we have like a standing agreement where like I can go and do things with other people, as can he. And, you know, people don't even ask the questions. They just make all these, you know, judgment boxes of like, purely because I showed up with a man beside me, versus when I go to events with a girl that I'm seeing and
everybody wants, oh, let's go have a threesome with me and your girlfriend.
Totally. Everybody's always all like, oh, wow, look, shiny, shiny, shiny.
It's a shiny new toy. But wait, there's two of them. Two for the price of one.
Yeah.
But it's like, seriously, threesomes with two chicks and a dude only work if the two chicks are into each other. If you've got two chicks that are like, oh, we're like friends, but not really. Like, let's have a threesome and see how it goes. It's going to be so much more effort for everyone, especially the man, because then it is on them to make sure that both females are satisfied. And that's hard to do when they're like, I don't really want to touch you.
No, that is so legit. Like, I have had like literally a threesome with a girl that I was into with my husband and it was fun, and then a threesome with a girl that I wasn't into and it was like,
whereas you just have to like walk away from the situation and be like, why did I think this was a good idea?
Like, who made this up?
I was like, why did we think that this was going to go well?
Or like, have you ever like, there was a situation once that we were in an accidental orgy. And
how do you, okay, accidental orgy. I don't think I've ever heard that one used before.
I'm not even kidding you. We were at an event and the playroom was downstairs and they had set it up all fancy. And so we had some friends there, or not even friends, they're just acquaintances that we've met a few times. And they're like, do you guys want to go downstairs and check out the space? And it was really early in the evening. So I was like, yeah, we're probably just going to go downstairs and check out the space. Okay.
No,
not okay. So we went downstairs and then literally it was just like one thing led to another. And then more people just joined and they're like, hey, can we come? And hey, can we swatch? Or hey, can we blah, blah, blah. And then before you know it, I have this dude having sex with me that I'm like totally not into. And so I was like, oh my God, this is not fun. And so
like, how did we end up here?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I'm just going to stop you. And then I literally wiggled up behind Aaron's head because some girl was like riding his dick. And I like put my vagina underneath his head. And I was like, safe. And literally just watched him fuck your girl, which was fun. Super was not into her. But, you know, like, it was like, all right, this is...
When you're there with your partner and you're able to watch them also enjoy themselves, it adds to the experience, but also takes away a little bit of that awkwardness because you've got your safety net there if you need it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's so nice. I would like to put an advocate to that, though, that it can also add complications.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so we only touched on it just, like, a tiny bit on the last episode, Zoe, but... is polyamory the only way to truly be a bisexual? Do you feel like that is the only way?
Okay, polyamory, just like in the fact of like having other relationships with women, or like
just having the ability, because imagine a woman being married to a man, but she's bisexual. She identifies as bisexual, but they're in a monogamous relationship. Do you feel as though that they can really be bisexual?
Yeah. Like, when I've been in closed relationships with men, like, I don't just change the way that I perceive myself. It's like, oh, now I'm just straight. It's like, at the end of the day, like, I'm still attracted to women. And then it would just turn into a fun game of, like, we'd go out to the mall and I'd be like, babe, look at her butt. It's a really good butt. And he'd be like, what are you doing? You're dating a man. I'm like, yes. But I'm only dating you because it just happened. But... it's like, I don't get all dressed up for, like, men. I get all dressed up for women to be like, oh my gosh, I love your outfit.
I love that. But you know, I was thinking about it.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, like, you know, because monogamous, like, so say you're in a relationship and, you know, you're straight. Well, you just pick one person. You're only dating one person.
Exactly. And,
you know, like, if you just, like, end that relationship and then switch to another gender for a relationship, well then, you know, you're still bisexual and you can still be monogamous, but you can still also be bisexual. Or I already said that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just awesome that us, you know, non-monogamous people can just naturally be like, have our cake and eat it too.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I find it was a lot harder for me as a monogamous person, because at one point in my life I was strictly monogamous, serial monogamous, like relationships from age 11 through to 18. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, one person only, that's all I want. And I found that I was constantly unhappy because I wasn't able to explore that side of my sexuality in a place where, you know, it wouldn't end my relationship horribly. And I felt very confined and trapped and things like that. And then it would end with my relationships not working out because I would be trying to find that same energy with that person and it just wasn't able to happen. And then you'd make friends that were girls and things like that. And you'd be like, cool, this is really close to what I like and what I feel, but I can't explore it any further. So being and having the opportunity to be in a non-monogamous and open and swinging and poly relationship, because we don't have titles in the whole swing of mine and my partner's relationship right now, because it's an ever-changing situation, right? It's like with certain people, I'm like, cool, I'm fine with whatever happens. Other people, I'm like, this is where the boundary is and it's not going to go further than that.
And I think it's vibe too, right? Like, it's just, it's like,
exactly. It's so much of a vibe.
If you just meet someone in a bar, like, one person, you'll be like, nah. And the next person, you'll be like, hello.
Hello, you know? Hi. It's, like, a couple of the fun little clubs in Edmonton and things like that that I've been and had the opportunity to go to, it's like you meet hundreds of different people in a night, and some of them you don't vibe with, some of them you're like, hey, let's go hang out away from everyone for a little bit and see if the vibe is actually there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to have okay. the opportunity to do that is amazing.
It is. It really is. Okay, what's one thing about bisexuality you wish people understood better?
That just because I'm dating a man does not invalidate my status as a bisexual. Yes! Or just because I'm dating a female does not invalidate that either.
Yes! Right?
It's like, at the end of the day, I'm still bisexual. If I'm with a man, if I'm with a woman, doesn't make a difference.
And I really wish that people had the opportunity to just give a space to date and do however we see fit and create relationships on grounds of which we desire that has absolutely nothing to do with the labels and others' judgments and expectations exactly. of what that should look like.
Well, I think like a lot of people nowadays are using poly as a cover term to serial date. And I find it happens a lot more when it comes to females, because there's always been that stigma that if you're a female who's dating multiple people, you're a slut.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put the label of poly on it, people are like, oh, like you're exploring different connections, you're seeing where things go, and it's more positively connected to that.
Interesting, because that's not actually the definition of polyamory.
No, it's not.
Right? It's literally polyamory, like, defined multiple love.
Exactly. Whereas it's not casual dating, but I feel like as a society, we've walked away from, you know, the casual term of like casual dating, casual sex, and put polyamory or ethical non-monogamy on that as the cover for this deeply ingrained society being like, hey, look, if you're with multiple people, you're a slut.
Yeah. You know, I totally like, there's been so many people that I have been talking to lately, and I never really connected the dots on this until you brought it up forward, to be honest, because, you know, people just identify it as ethically non-monogamous. That's it. You know, there wasn't, like, a further definition of what they are or an explanation of the type of relationships they have or the type of feelings that are allowed, what kind of boundaries are set. None of that. It was literally like, I'm ethically non-monogamous, so I just like have relationships or I have sexual relationships with people.
Exactly. It's like, I'm ethically non-monogamous but open to dating and new connections.
Yeah.
Is how I explain it. Like, I am in a relationship with my partner, but at the end of the day, we're ethically non-monogamous and I'm open to dating. Mm-hmm. And seeing where new connections go, if it ends in friendships or if it ends in, you know, me and another person seeing where things go, if it ends with me and my partner seeing where it goes with somebody else or with another couple, things like that, whatever.
Fascinating, isn't it?
It's so fascinating. And all it took was a pandemic for me to figure out my sexuality.
Okay, so there is a huge movement of exploration in our sexuality these days. You see it all over TikTok. What do you think is an important self-reflection for a bisexual, curious, or questioning human?
Allow yourself to experience the feelings.
What kind of feelings?
With every person that you meet, there's going to be different feelings that arise. Like, the first time that I met you, how long ago did we meet for the first time? Like,
oh God, I don't know.
A long time ago. When I first met you, I was like, this chick is fucking awesome. This is somebody that I could see, you know, having some good conversations with, going out for coffee, hanging out, things like that. But when I met other people as well, I'm like, cool, like, we could go on a date, we could see where this goes, it could go sexually, it could go not sexually, like... Let yourself sit with the feelings and don't feel rushed to make the decision of how you want to move forward. Give yourself time to be like, cool, we mesh really well on this level. Like, we've hung out a couple times. We've meshed really well on this level. However, like, going forward, I don't think we would mesh on any other level besides this one.
That's cool. That is a good self-reflection.
Thank you. It's one that I've had to take a lot of time to figure out over the last year and a half.
I feel like my self-reflection suggestion is fairly similar to yours in that get out of your fucking head. Like, yeah. Don't let society fuck with your mindset. Just like, literally the second that the person I'm seeing that's a woman said, it's okay. Just tell me what you like and just feel it. Just enjoy it. Just embrace the pleasure. And I was like, okay. So instead of focusing on, oh my God, a girl is eating my vagina, or oh my God, I'm eating a vagina, it was like, this feels good.
See how your body is feeling. Get back in touch with your own physical energy instead of just the way that society expects you to feel about it.
Yes.
Check in with your physical body, not just your mental state.
Love it. Okay, so Zoe, is there anything you feel that is important that you'd like to say or add before ending our discussion today?
Don't limit yourself in your connections, in your friendships. Don't let other people's experiences turn you away, because everybody is going to experience it differently for themselves. Don't let somebody else's opinion of like, oh, me and her weren't friends because of XYZ. Let yourself come to your own conclusions about people.
Oh, that's so good.
Because, like, okay. I find in, like, the swinging community and things like that, it's definitely an issue that people are like, oh, I had beef with so-and-so. And then people will attach themselves to other people's issues.
So true. Do you mind how many times I've been burned by somebody else's opinion of a situation or a person?
Yes.
Like, endless. I literally will no longer allow that type of opinion to alter or change my opinion of anyone or situation.
Exactly.
Because I wasn't there. I wasn't part of it. Like, I don't know how people got to conclusions or the feelings that people had during those times. So
exactly.
I will never, ever be one of those people. Like, I've always been, I find, like, I'm that person that's able to be friends with everybody in any friend group because I don't give a fuck about the gossip. And
exactly. Once you stop caring about the gossip and things like that, you're better off in the friendships. But yeah. I've had friendships, especially in the lifestyle, and friendships that have ended because of other people's opinions that people are like, oh, well, I didn't notice this before, but now that you've said it, I've noticed it. And now I don't want to be friends with that person.
It's
horrible because a lot of people don't speak up right away, and they let it sit there and they let it fester until boom, it blows up one day and they're like, oh, well, here you go. I don't want you as a friend because of something that happened with somebody else and you.
Yeah, it's not cool.
But for the bisexuals that are listening or bisexuals that are questioning themselves and things like that, do what you think is going to make you happy. If that's sleeping with a dude one day, sleeping with a chick the next, and bouncing back and forth, do that. If it's just dating women for a little while, if it's just dating men for a little while, if it's having a million different experiences, some positive, some negative, some you're not sure where they fall. Live each one out. Reflect on each and every single one of them and what you found worked, what you found didn't. Create your own boundaries that are based off of your own opinion and your own bodily feelings, your mental feelings, your emotional state, everything like that. Don't limit yourself.
Yay! Freedom! I literally feel like I'm having a Braveheart moment over here with, like, my horse, and I have blue face, and I'm like riding along. I'm like, yeah.
You're like, okay. I love everything that's being said.
Love it.
What's your final note for the bisexuals that are listening?
My final is, I hope that no matter where you are in your life and no matter who's surrounding you or your situation, I hope that you find people that are safe, that will help you explore the things you desire. And I hope that you have the ability to recognize and screen things that are important to you, and that no matter where you are in this journey, there will always be people who are able to support you. And if you feel isolated and alone, I can give you a huge list of resources. There's always some kind of, you know, LGBTQ community base somewhere near you. I guarantee, no matter where in the world you're listening to this. However, there is some countries that I definitely know that there is not. However, you know,
there's a lot of online resources for the people that can't access them in their community. Yes,
totally. And I just hope that I'm sending out all of the good vibes so that everybody has a wonderful exploring journey. And it's fucking awesome to be bisexual and be proud of the fact that you don't have to choose who you want to be with.
Absolutely.
You can just, like, you don't have to choose a gender, I mean. You can just be whatever you fucking want.
Exactly. You are open to explore and celebrate yourself in the best way possible.
Yeah. Okay. So with wrapping up, I just wanted to say, one thing is that Zoe and I are very privileged. We are both in a community that is massive and strongly supports bisexuality and non-monogamy. And we recognize that some people may not have this available to them. And I'd like to suggest starting either a Facebook group in your area or try finding one. There's some great people out there. You never know where you might find communities. We are also women identifying as bisexuals, who have much less complications as any other gender identifying as bisexuals. This episode today is based on our experience, and hopefully in the ongoing episode of the series of bisexuality, we can speak to other genders and hearing a different view. So thank you, Zoe, for coming to speak to your experience and having a conversation with me about something we share in common.
Anytime.
Yeah, mad love, everybody. Have a good day.